To the Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm Evan.
I'm Doyle.
And I'm William Cooper, and here's the Pledge Girls.
I pledge allegiance to the flag,
and
to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Allison.
I love
them. Hey, you're getting pretty good. Pretty soon you'll be doing it by yourself, huh? Can you talk?
Yeah.
Let me hear you. No, you can't talk. Okay, we'll see you later. Well, I hope we're on the air now. Had a little screw up there in the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. So I trust that we are going out over the airwaves. And until I find out, there's really not much that I can do during this during this broadcast. Because if we're not, then there's no point in doing anything. So I'm just waiting to hear if we're going out. No, we're not going out.
No.
Nothing. Did you?
I'm listening to some music.
Huh?
I'm listening to music on 7415. And you're talking.
Okay. Well, folks, we got to try and figure out what's going on here. That's the only thing I can tell you. So, we'll go back to some music.
Komm, eine männliche Figur näher für dich zu tragen. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you might be listening to the hour of the time. Apparently, something is burned out in the phone patch board at WBCQ. And I don't know if we're on the air or not. But yes, I just heard that we are. Okay. Well, we're on the air. So while you're listening to this music, we'll try to figure out what we're doing here. Because this has just thrown a monkey wrench into the whole broadcast. Sorry about that, folks. We'll try to try to do something here. Ladies and gentlemen, however many of you have stuck through it this long, I know if you tune in to your favorite broadcast and it's not there, a lot of people just tuned to something else. And so I don't know how many people are listening. I don't know if anybody's listening. We'll find out because this has completely destroyed what we had planned to do tonight, so we're not going to do that. What do you want to do, Doyle? What do you want to do, Doyle?
Talk about work. I don't know.
You want to talk about work? Well, I guess we could do that. Well, let's talk on the phone. Good evening. You're on the air.
Just wanted to let you know we're listening.
Well, good.
All right.
Who's we?
This is Mark in Texas.
Okay, Mark. We got one listener, Doyle.
All right.
Cool. And about 399 more to go.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Right.
Actually, I know our listeners pretty well. I'm sure that they all sense that something was wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that they're all there, sitting in front of their radio, waiting for us to reach out through this microphone and across the airwaves and grab them by the shoulders and give them a big kiss on the cheek.
There you go.
So here it comes, folks. Yeah. Get ready. Get ready. Mm-hmm. I am now inserting my hand into the microphone. Oh, man, this is tough. Oh, that's a tight squeeze, man.
Right,
it's going down now.
No.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Here we go.
All right. Well, you know, Doyle has a job.
Nah.
As opposed to me, who also has a job, but I work for myself. Doyle is working for somebody else. And every day he comes home with the most incredible stories of how the welfare mentality has taken over this community. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a small, rural, Arizona mountain community of what I consider to be pretty good folks.
Yeah.
All of the people that I've met and know and have dealt with in this valley, except for maybe one or two, are just incredibly wonderful people. And why don't you get that in there, Doyle? We haven't opened the phones, folks, so you should not be calling. But apparently, these people, a good percentage of them, apparently, have been afflicted with the socialist mentality, and you would never know it until you turn off their television set. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, I told you that nothing is going to bother the American people until you turn off their television set, take one of their cars, or take the chicken out of their pot. Well, that's true. And what in the world is going on now? wonder if they've lost the feed again. We shall find out. Just ignore it, Doyle.
Yeah, someone's
ignore it.
Playing around.
Ignore it. Just ignore it. Ignore it. We are not taking calls. Don't call. We're not going to answer the phone. So anyway, a good portion of these people are afflicted with the socialist welfare mentality. And we don't have a television station here. So there are no TV antennas on rooftops anywhere. At least I've never seen one. Have you seen any, Doyle?
No, I haven't. No. Cable and satellite. Cable, satellite, DSS, that's about it.
I'm grabbing him and jerking him to the mic because he keeps standing 6 feet away and he thinks everybody can hear what he's saying. And if they're listening real close, they might be able to, but I doubt it. So I'm yanking him over here to the microphone so that you can hear his repertoire. So Doyle works for the local cable company. And he has to deal with people all day long who have not paid their bills.
Yeah.
And we're not going to mention anybody's name, so if you're listening in the Round Valley and you're one of these people that we're talking about, don't get upset because we're not going to embarrass you on the air.
No.
Although we could if we wanted to, but wouldn't be ethical, and we're not that kind of people. So don't even worry about it.
Okay.
Nobody's going to know who you are. Except Doyle. He doesn't even tell me your names. And that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't do that, and he doesn't. But he does tell me the stories. And oh, what stories he tells. It seems that a lot of people don't pay their cable bill. And I don't mean just a few. I mean a lot of people try to skate by without paying their cable television bill.
Mm-hmm.
And is this true?
Yeah, this is true. I today I printed out past due, I guess they're called notices. And they're, what, two to a page, double folded, chain fed through the printer, and the stack was almost 2 foot tall.
So you had that many
floor.
People who weren't paying their cable bill.
Yeah, just a month alone, yeah.
And so yesterday you had to give a disconnect order to how many people?
I think it was around 90.
90 people got their television sets disconnected yesterday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea what happens when you disconnect 90 people's television sets. It seems that's more important than anything. Anything in the entire world, they cannot live without it. What are some of the things that happen?
Well, I've been told I haven't paid my water bill or any other bills yet, but don't disconnect my cable, so I'm going to be right in to pay.
And that's after how many months of not paying?
It was July, August, somewhere around there.
So that's about 3 months
they
haven't paid.
Yeah.
And they're not going to pay their water bill.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay their rent.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay any other. They're going to come in and pay their
mm-hmm.
cable bill.
Pay the cable bill.
And do they pay all of it?
No. And in fact, one that I had today, just one of many, but one that was particularly interesting was it was pretty high amount, pushing a couple hundred, and came in and disconnected. And wanted to put down 40 and demand a reconnection right now.
Demanded a reconnection. Didn't ask nicely.
No.
Didn't say, I know I'm in arrears and I know that you've earned this money and I've contracted to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only going to pay just a little tiny portion of what I owe. And I demand that you reconnect my cable television right now.
One was told about 4:30 at 5 o'clock at a phone call, where's your technician at? Half an hour, they pay maybe 20% of the bill,
yeah.
And he's a half hour late. And the poor guy's working overtime already. He should have been home.
And you've even been threatened over this.
Oh, yes. We're not going to pay, beating fists on counters. I'm not going to put up with this. I refuse to put up with this treatment.
And what kind of treatment is that they're putting up with?
I don't know. I'm pretty congenial with everybody.
Well, what are they talking about?
Well,
they say, I'm not going to put up with this treatment. I'm going to bang on the counter and... you guys are in big trouble, and
type like that.
Even some physical threats, maybe.
Yeah, it looked like it to me. One in instance was a past due disconnected, past due a couple 3 months. I haven't been getting a bill. I didn't think I had to pay, was what I was told,
mm-hmm.
and just threw an utter fit.
that it was our fault and they should get all of the rest of the month free. And even though it was posed to them, well, you only lost since this morning so far.
But they want the rest of the month
free.
But they didn't lose this morning. They never paid for this morning.
They didn't pay, yeah.
They weren't entitled to this morning.
No, and
so they didn't suffer any damages or any loss, did they?
No, and then the excuses that we would hear were, it's like, well, I quit getting a bill, so I just figured I didn't have to pay, or I figured I'd wait.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems awfully strange with the amount of request letters for address changes if there was a problem, phone calls, letters, past due notices, door tags, physical door tags on their physical, on their doorknob.
Yeah, so this isn't something that just happened, I mean, with no warning or anything.
No. Everybody was door tagged last week. The technicians we had to lose a day of work, productive work, and have the technicians go around to all these people's physical addresses and hang like a solicitation sign on the doorknob. Notice, we missed you. Please call so-and-so at so-and-so.
And
here's why.
And this is after how many letters?
Two and three. What I do is I write the number of phone calls to date, the response on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
I've got lists so full that I cover the whole face of a mailing of a number 10 envelope from top to bottom, 2 or 3 inches, with the little lines that say 10:15, the time, and then whatever, the response or whatever.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of notice.
And sometimes you even call them.
Constantly.
And yet they don't want to pay the bill, but they've contracted to pay for it for the television. But they don't want to lose their television.
No, they don't want to lose it either.
And when it gets cut off, all of a sudden they are irate because you owe it to them.
Yes, we owe it to them.
Owe them television. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how low we've sunk in this country, that now we owe everybody. This is according to Johnny Lightning.
Yeah.
We owe them freedom from want and freedom from fear.
And cable.
Now, this is from the socialists. We owe them a house, not just a shelter, but a good house with 3 bedrooms and hot and cold running water, 2 baths, a 2-car garage, and all this kind of stuff. We owe them food, all they can eat. We owe them a job. We owe them unemployment benefits. We owe them medical insurance and life insurance. We owe them clothing. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we owe them television. Yeah. Is this incredible? Yes.
The guy yesterday.
Yes.
This gentleman yesterday is in a very esteemed position, which I look up to as far as his line of work in the educational field. He's the top man at this institution. And his son calls, "Hey, man, Dad, your place is getting cut off." So he runs down, pays it at a place, an hour away, 45 minutes away. Pays it where he works next door to, 2 doors down, by the way, this whole time. And he has this cable in our local community. He lives in this local community, his P.O. box in this local community, and wants to know why he's not getting his bill at work, because he would have paid it otherwise.
He wants to know why he's not getting his cable bill at work. What address did he give to you to send the bill to?
Here.
Here.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah.
So he gave you his address at home.
Here in a P.O. box. Yeah, here.
And now he's irate because he didn't get his bill at his work.
Yeah.
But he knows what address he gave you.
Yeah, he knows. And then, in fact, I said, well...
He's teaching our children. This guy is teaching our children, ladies and gentlemen.
The head honcho.
Not only that, he's teaching the teachers who teach our children.
And then I offered, I said, hey.
And don't worry, we didn't give him away because there's several schools here. Yeah. Nobody knows exactly who we're talking about.
And then I said, well, hey, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be back here.
By the way, I don't know who it is either. Doyle has never, ever... told me any names of anybody. He wouldn't do that, but he does tell me the stories, and they are hilarious. So, go ahead.
I'm saying, hey, I will hand carry today, and I'm not getting paid for this once I leave, and go over and fix it if you want some other address. I don't know. I'll try to keep on top of it. So, I'm like, hand feeding them. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, well, that's what you do to all of them every day. And yet they still demand. You have people come in who admit that they haven't paid their rent in 2 months.
Yeah.
Haven't paid their water bill.
Yeah.
probably are on welfare and getting food stamps.
Yeah.
And but they want to make sure that their television bill is paid.
Yes, yes. And today another one that was interesting was I owe, let's say it was 100 and something, way up there. And I don't want to be exact on any of this to embarrass anybody. And they want to pay roughly 40% of it is all. And that's because that's all the money they got. And they'll be back in 2 weeks. Okay, that's cool. You know, I'm trying to work with them. Be nice to them. Okay, can you fix me up tonight? Okay, well, I got to see. I got to find a technician somewhere. We're real busy cutting people off. And, well, I need to know when you're going to hook me back up tonight. So then after all that, then I find out that they owed another fee. So I called them, said, I will wait overtime, which you saw tonight. I didn't get home till late.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get paid for that.
Yeah.
Waited for them to bring in this extra fee. And remember, they didn't have the money an hour before. That was it, and I bought the story. And they walked in with a $100 bill.
Oh.
Can you break this?
Can you
I
break
said,
this?
Oh, you,
and you got their service reconnected.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah. Well,
I was soft.
You fell for it. Ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong with this picture? What is wrong with this picture? Do you know what happens to these people when their television is cut off? They are actually forced. They are actually forced to interact with other human beings in their family.
Yeah.
They're forced to talk to someone.
Uh-huh.
They're forced to think.
Mm-hmm.
They can no longer sit in a chair in front of the great boob tube.
Yeah.
And be spoon-fed their nightly ration of pablum. Brainwashing, lies, manipulation, and the most ridiculous parody of human life that you could ever imagine on what is commonly known as a sitcom.
And in fact, last week I had a prominent local businessman. And you don't know who it is. Like you said, I don't tell you any names or anything.
Yeah.
It's a big business here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I better hurry up and pay my bills or I might have to talk to my wife.
He actually said that.
Yeah.
And you know what? He probably meant it.
Yeah, I laughed at that one.
Oh, heaven forbid he should have to talk to
yeah.
his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What in the world would he say after all these years of watching television?
Talk about last night's show? I don't know.
Well, he could aim the... He could aim the remote control at her and try to change the channel, I guess. Or turn down the volume or, you know, something. I don't know. This is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. And just think, you know, if that's what's going on in a little mountain town like this, there couldn't be more than, what, 2,000 people in this town?
Yeah.
Maybe another 3,000 in Springerville. And, and then in the surrounding area, maybe another... 3,000, if you count Greer and Alpine
everything,
and
yeah.
Nutrioso and all the ranchers and the people who live out on acreages and things like that. And, you know, I guessed at one time that there's probably around 7,000 people within listening range of this broadcast, which goes out quite a ways
mm-hmm.
because our antenna is way up on top of the hill. Isn't this incredible? So now, we will open the phones for those of you.
Just be funny because they heard me.
For those of you who want to call and chew Doyle out because your television set was disconnected because you didn't pay your bill. And, you know, if you live in Detroit, you can also do that because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Doyle is here and he will take your complaint.
Yeah, I'll take your complaint.
And talk about it. So... if you'd like to talk about the broadcast last night,
ooh.
Or if you'd like to explore this, what happens to Americans when their TV gets cut off? What's going to happen if all over the country the lights go out and nobody has a television set to watch? Can you imagine? It could be the next baby boom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And looking at some of the people...
Maybe they won't talk to their wife.
Yeah.
Maybe nobody will say a word.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at some of the... I don't know how to say this. Mental capacity, I don't know. I've experienced with irate people.
Yeah.
It's the type of deal that seems to me it would cause looting at TV stores because the TV at home quit working.
Mm-hmm. I want you to go call WBCQ because I don't think we're on the air anymore.
Okay.
I really don't.
I'll go check in.
I really don't think so. The number is 520-333-4578. If you'd like to call. I don't think we're on shortwave anymore. WBCQ was having trouble, technical trouble, on their end. And that was probably what the phone was ringing about. So I'm going to play some music until we find out. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill, you're definitely on the air on shortwave. I'm listening to you in Philadelphia on 7415.
We are. Okay, good.
So, and listen, I love your program, and I try and listen. I get about an hour before I've got to go in for the third shift. So
yeah.
I listen to the first hour just about every night.
The third shift?
Yeah.
The third shift?
Yeah, I work from 11 to 7 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. I'm an old Navy man. We never had third shifts.
Yeah.
We had port and starboard. You were at one or the other. There wasn't a third shift.
Okay. I like your website, too. I just found that tonight, and there's some pretty interesting stuff on there. So I was eager to hear your broadcast tonight, and I was a little concerned there in the beginning, and then I was glad to hear you guys come on here. So.
Well, great. Well, what we had planned to do was totally destroyed by what happened in the beginning, so we didn't get to do that, so we're just going to wing it tonight, so we need the help of the listening audience.
There you go.
Do you have any comments about this TV thing? Do you know anybody that's so hooked on TV that they never talk to their family?
Well, I can say this. I think.
Also, I need you to talk a lot louder.
Okay. I think I've kind of woken up to reality a little bit ever since I stopped subscribing. And I went out and bought a shortwave radio, and here I am. So it's definitely been educational for me, not having a television.
Yeah.
Like you say, you know, people just get so fixated in front of the screen, you know, they kind of don't realize what's going on elsewhere in the world. So I have no desire to get my cable back. I like listening to shortwave now, so.
Do you know anybody who fits that bill that just goes home and falls into a trance in front of the television set until midnight or so, and then sort of stumbles off in a trance to bed?
Sure, my mother and my girlfriend.
Your mother and your girlfriend?
Yeah, they're both boob tubes. I refer to them.
Oh wow. Well,
it's not crazy. You know, I tell them about some of the stuff I hear on shortwave, and they think I'm paranoid and crazy. So.
Well. You know, I don't want to influence your love life or not, but if I were you, I'd look for another girlfriend. You might have to live with this one for the rest of your life, and you better look at what you just told us.
Yeah, that's true, but she's kind of interested in the shortwave stuff, and I'm into ham radio and stuff, and she's kind of interested. I've been trying to teach her some things about it, and I guess I'm going to have to buy her a shortwave radio if I want her to get off the cable.
Well, you know, people don't change habits like that so easily.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but almost blew my ears out. I wish you luck. See, I'm trying to make up for your low voice, and so I turned the volume way up when you're talking, and then I just forgot to turn it down when I started to talk, and almost blew my ears out.
I'm on a cheap cordless here, so it's phone I'm on.
Please don't ever call a radio station on a cordless. You have no idea. You know, we're trying as hard as we can to get your volume up so that people can hear it, and then you're on a cordless, it's just impossible.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, I like your broadcast, and I'm going to continue to listen here.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
That's hard to do. That's hard to guess when he's going to talk, and then, you know, I turn it up, and then I start to bring it down for me to him. He's still talking, and so I jam it back up there again. That's not easy to do, you know. I have never claimed to be a psychic, and don't do too well when I try to be one. You take this call.
You're on the air.
How you doing?
Hey, all right. What's up?
Good. Your shortwave listeners can still hear you.
Okay.
One question.
Uh-huh.
Are you guys only on 2 hours now?
Yeah.
Yes, it started this week, 2 hours, 9 to 11 Eastern time.
Well, that's too bad, because I tuned in around 11:30, and there was some strange fellow playing music on there. That doesn't sound like Doyle.
forgot to buy one of our products.
Yes, I did. Sorry about that.
That's why we're on 2 hours.
Oh, is that, you mean because of not enough money?
Yeah, I told you guys for 2 weeks, if you didn't support the broadcast by buying the products, we would not be on for 3 hours. And if enough products are not purchased to pay for 2 hours, we won't be on for two either.
You see, it's a good thing I called so you can berate the rest of the listening audience for not buying enough stuff.
Oh, I'm not berating anybody. I would never berate anybody for not purchasing products. I am, however, very disappointed when they become disappointed because we can't pay for what they want to hear, and yet they will not help by purchasing something that we offer for sale so that they can have what they want instead of demanding that we give it to them. Because we're not millionaires, you see. We're just regular, ordinary people who are trying to do a real good job as best we can, but we're not wealthy. We just barely meet the bills every month, and if the money doesn't come in, you see, other people get on the radio and they beg and they cry and they ask for donations. We don't do that. We get good products that we know are good and we'll stand behind them, and we offer them, and if people don't buy them, then we can't pay for the airtime. It's simple as that.
When do you advertise these? Every now and then. Sometimes, see, I don't listen to you all the time.
We've only failed one night.
Yeah, one or two nights, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll have to listen a little closer. But I have a question. I want to make a comment on the TV thing, Mel.
Okay.
We're just talking to somebody that hasn't owned a TV in 7 years.
Well, good for you.
I would suggest no one did.
I would say that the...
By the way, we know who you are.
You know, the cable company is going to try and give me a TV.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when you talk about people not wanting to pay a water bill to get their TV, it's in our society. It's the way we're indoctrinated to the television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Since most people, including myself, so I got rid of TV. Well, I got to tell you, even when I'm in a room with a TV, I find it a little addicting. I mean, we're talking about a group of people that have created a system that is really quite addicting to the human being, and I think that's how they control the masses.
I don't really understand that, because unless there's a really good movie or a good documentary on, I find absolutely nothing redeeming or addictive about it. In fact, it makes me ill to watch what people sit down and get addicted to. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I tried to sit through, what's her name? One of those talk shows in the daytime.
Yeah, right.
I forgot. Jesse Raphael. Yeah. I tried to sit through Sally Jesse Raphael one day.
That's a lot
and,
of names.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's it was a lot of nausea. I had to leave. I really did. I felt myself becoming physically ill.
And I was a little tongue-in-cheek. Actually, I find that the commercials, when I do watch, sometimes more interesting than like a show. And I think because the advertising people, I mean, they just specialize in how to, I think, grab you.
Oh, yes.
Billions of spin on it and research.
It's a science, and they do. They spend billions of dollars to try to determine exactly what they have to do to hook you, get you to listen to the commercial, then remember it, repeat it to others, and purchase the product.
That's right. That's why Super Bowl, was it on your show or somewhere I heard, they say, look, give us $1 billion or whatever it is for a minute of advertising and during the Super Bowl, and we will have millions of people change to your product. So that's a powerful tool.
Yes, it is.
When I was in a civics class in college, they did an experiment, and most of the class could do jingles from commercials.
Okay, which one was okay?
And, well, just various jingles, whoever, Toyota, whatever. I love what you know, that crap, all the stuff.
Actually, he didn't go to college. His girlfriend did. He was camping out under her bed.
Yeah. And,
actually, he did go to college.
Yeah, just a little bit, so I got kicked out.
Well, I'm sure these commercials have been off the air for years, but if you ask somebody... enjoy a commercial. I'd rather switch than fight. They'd probably be able to hum the jingle and tell you what cigarette it was.
You know, we have all of those. And I used to play them on the hour at the time every once in a while. I may just go back to that.
Mm. But anyway, listen, I will have to listen to your product line and to everybody else out there, buy something, because I hate to see you guys go off the air.
Well, it's just economics 101. That's all it is, you know. People just, you know, we were talking about the television, how they get addicted to television, and they won't pay the rent, but they'll pay their television bill, or at least a portion of it, to try and keep it from getting disconnected. And they actually believe that you owe it to them. I mean, they don't see it as a commodity or a product that they're purchasing. You owe it to them.
You're talking about your show, or you're talking about TV in general?
I'm talking about television.
Television. They come in and they sign a contractual agreement. I don't drag them in off the street. They walk in, how do I get cable? They sign a contractual agreement, which is really simple to live up to. I don't even ask SS numbers or driver's license numbers. I just want to know the physical address so it can be turned on, and here's your rate, and here's a channel card. They enter into everything.
And it's probably the same way, myself included, I suspect, when it comes to your show. Almost like, well, it's on there, we should get it for free, as opposed to...
Well, you know, it's not just my show. I get calls from people, and they say, Bill, I've got an idea. I said, what's that? Why don't you do this and this and this, and so we can all, you know, we can all have it. I said, well, I got a better idea. What's that? Why don't you do it so I can have it? Guess what? They get angry. They don't like that.
Whether you want to consider yourself a leader or not.
But I owe it to them.
There are leaders and followers. I think you're in the leadership role. By the way, what is your website?
My website?
Do you have a website?
You're not. Oh. You're not with the Gestapo, are you?
No.
Are you going to trace it down?
Just somebody trying to finish up a PhD here on the internet.
I couldn't help it because everybody's always calling us paranoid. Whenever I get a chance, I try to justify their accusations, you know, so they don't feel so bad, you know. I don't want to shatter their illusions.
Well, if you don't want to tell me, that's all right.
Well, it's okay. I'll tell you. I'll tell you, but I'm not going to tell anybody else.
But,
just you.
Yeah, just you. It's harvest-trust.org.
Harvest-trust?
Yeah.
Trust.
Harvest-trust. .org.
Yeah, I tried to look up...
No spaces in there anywhere.
They didn't have in the searches, but I couldn't get to you. But good. Well, gentlemen, good luck to you. I enjoy hearing you. Now, unfortunately, I got to go off to the library and do some work.
Okay.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. Yeah, I like to get calls from him. He's called several times since we've been on WBCQ. Mm-hmm. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill Cooper. I was listening to your program last night, and I found it very interesting. By the way, I'm calling from Canada.
Oh,
all right.
Well, that's great.
Sure.
I've been waiting for you to come back so I could hear you, and I'm really quite thrilled because I do like your programs.
Well, thank you. You know, I was quite enthralled last night, too. You didn't hear me talking very much.
No, the sad part was the second hour was totally disturbed.
Oh, no.
I couldn't hear it, and I was wondering if this man was selling a book that one could purchase or anything like this. This is the reason I'm calling.
Yes. I don't...
I may have it near.
I didn't write anything down, and... No, I didn't. I'll tell you what, if you just go to the bookstore and ask for books by Michael Cremo.
How do you spell that? C?
C-R-E-M-O.
C-R-E-M-O, okay. Michael Cremo.
Yeah, and he's written several books. Mm-hmm. I don't know which ones you would be interested in, but the one that I think you would probably be interested in, if you liked last night's broadcast, was forbidden archaeology.
Uh-huh. Yeah, probably. I found that almost incredible. Of course, with all the distortions that are going on in the educational system, I'm not surprised that they went into the field of archaeology too and tried to distort this whole thing.
Oh well, that's a prime area for them to go into, because one of the number one goals of Marxism is to kill God and destroy traditional religion. Of all kinds, not just Christianity, but Orthodox Judaism, the religion of Islam, and any others that compete with the theory that man himself is God, which is the Marxist view.
Right, and if these people could only go to Russia or come to Canada, see what socialism does to your country. I came to Canada in 1957, and I'm telling you, it was the land of opportunity. Has it ever gone down the tubes?
Yeah, yes, it has. Canada has fallen to the New World Order. They have given up their guns.
And you know, the people sit in front of the television, and when I talk to them, they think I'm from another planet.
Well, you probably are. To them,
probably, yes.
Because they've fallen into the socialist trap, and they're probably very happy of being children to Big Daddy State.
Of course, it is a sort of conditioning. You're being conditioned to rely on Big Daddy, and when I say to them, what's wrong with your initiative? Don't you have any? Even in the family, it's just incredible. It boggles the mind. I mean, sometimes I think, gee, you know, where did I get educated? What kind of food am I eating that stimulates me to all this kind of stuff? Because you're sort of on the outside.
Yeah.
You don't really fit in.
Well, you know, Canadians were never well known for patriotism. I don't remember a time in my life where anybody ever made the statement that Canadians were patriotic. It just doesn't seem to be that way.
No, but you know, when the Europeans came in the 50s and 60s, they actually made Canada what it is today. And the average Canadian, I know I was called a DP for the longest time.
What's a DP?
A displaced person.
Really?
Because I immigrated to Canada.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. They were so jealous, you know, because, you know, as Europeans, you're used to working and looking after yourself and all that. They just couldn't comprehend this. If they had their beer and their television, they were happy for the weekend.
And their socialized medicine, which doesn't work.
Yeah.
That is really going down the tubes too here.
Yeah, they all come down here to get operations, but they can't get up there because there's so many socialists waiting in line for the free operation.
Right. Well, they're claiming this year that it's the other way around. I just heard that on the radio today.
They can claim all they want to.
So this is all kinds of talk that's going on the radio, isn't it? It's just incredible. Very interesting. So you are sort of a voice of sanity, and I'm so glad you're there.
Well, thank you.
It's nice talking to you.
And thank you for calling.
Good night.
Good night. Night. Canada.
Mm-hmm.
On our northern border.
Yeah.
The socialists on our northern border, except for a few. There are a few people in Canada who are not and don't like it.
Yeah.
Good evening, you're on the air, and apparently she was one of those. Good evening.
Hello?
Hello?
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
You are.
I'm Gloria calling from Detroit.
Hi, Gloria. Can you put your mouth right in front of your telephone and talk a lot louder, please?
Can you hear me now?
That's a little better, but I wish you would project your voice.
Do what now?
Talk loud. Yell at me.
Yell?
Yes.
Okay.
You see, there's all kinds of people in this world who are so used to talking soft that when you say talk louder, they go from talking soft to a whisper. So, for those people, I ask that they yell.
I'll yell then.
Thank you.
Okay, my comment?
Yes?
Your comment on the Y2K, when you said it was a bunch of baloney, it was a breath of fresh air.
Well, thank you.
And?
It is a bunch of baloney.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, what do you think happened to Art Bell?
I have no idea. I really don't. We've been trying for a couple of days to find out. By the way, the Associated Press article, which I told you I thought probably was a hoax, is a hoax.
It is.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's also a message posted on the sightings website on the internet, which claims to be for Mark Bell. I don't know if it is or not, but I also believe, I believe that that is also a hoax.
Well, I'm calling you from the Detroit area, and I'm so glad to hear you again. I didn't hear you when you were over there on the other station for a while.
Well, I didn't hear me over there either.
Oh. We hear you real good in Detroit now.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't hear me in Arizona either.
That's all I got to say.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
There are some sane people out there. Yeah. Believe it or not, there really are.
Good.
520-333-4578, for those of you who don't know the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill Burr with Darlene.
Hey, hi, Darlene. How are you?
Hey, you are talking to a true TV junkie. I've got your radio on. I've got the TV on mute. I own four TVs.
Oh, Darlene, how can you watch four TVs all at once?
But I hardly ever watch them.
I have a friend, his name is Gary Bourgeois, who mm-hmm. watches 20 or 30 all at once.
But I have them on. But I'm either up doing something, but it's like an addiction. You need the noise in the background. But I was going to tell you about paying bills.
Uh-huh.
It's funny, because it's true. We have certain things that we absolutely have to have. Now, part of us has got our priorities a little straighter than others. I have to pay my house payment, my insurance payment, things like that. But cable does come real close to the top.
Wow.
And the problem is that we really don't talk to each other anymore.
Why not?
Well, I'm not sure we really like each other anymore.
You're kidding.
No. No, but, I mean, you can't even hardly get anybody to talk to you anywhere anymore. And if you do talk to them, they don't listen to you. Have you ever noticed we've totally lost the skill of listening?
Not up here.
Oh, well, you're...
Hop on your horse and come on up the mountain, Darlene, and you can sit here. That's all we do is talk.
We'll talk to you all night.
Oh, hey, you and Doyle are listeners. And that's what makes you guys so special, because you are truly listeners. But another thing that is a big problem nowadays is that we have a tendency to use televisions as babysitters.
I believe that that's very true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If we can divert the children to television, then we're free. But what we don't realize is that by diverting them, we're ruining our kids.
That's right. Your children. Kids are baby goats.
Oh, well, mine still may be kids then.
Well, yeah. Let's hope not.
But whenever I grew up on cartoons and Andy Griffith and stuff like that, but the values are gone.
Well, you know what? When I was little, we didn't have a television set. We were allowed to listen to radio for a couple of hours each night because my father said that that was good for our imagination, because we had to imagine. We couldn't see anything. When we got television, my dad would watch the news, and occasionally they would watch something like GE Theater or the Alcoa Theater or some of those other really highfalutin, highbrow presentations, drama things, and that was it. They would turn it off, and we were not hardly ever allowed to go near it or to sit and watch it. And when we were, we had to behave ourselves.
Oh, yeah, and that is an art that children have lost. They do not know how to behave themselves or to sit still for very long.
Well, they can't lose what they never had. You see, the parents never gave them that gift, and it is a gift, and so they never had it to lose it.
I've got a teenage son, and I sat down with him, and I was watching some cartoons. I almost died when I saw the thing behind it. I could not believe what they are filling our kids' heads with.
Ah, you're beginning to discover the brainwashing machine.
Have you seen the gargoyles, Darlene?
Oh, I cannot stand them. They actually turn my stomach.
Ah.
But there is some stuff on TV that is absolutely, this is what we are having our children watch. This is our babysitter. If somebody was to come in my house to watch my son and was to do the stuff that he's seeing on TV, I would throw an absolute hissy fit. But yet, it's all right.
What kind of fit?
A hissy fit.
Oh, okay.
Oh, have you ever seen a mother in a total rage?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, that would be me.
we found out what was going on yesterday. The dog went on alert, and he started, posturing toward the kitchen window, and mm-hmm. Pooh said she heard somebody outside, so we had sent Allison to her room for misbehaving about a half hour before. We went outside and looked all around, couldn't see anyone, couldn't hear anything, and then we turned around and looked up to Allison's window, and she had torn a big hole in the screen and was throwing her toys out on the roof.
a little bit of feminine independence there.
Yes, and she was very proud of it and wanted us to know that she was doing that.
Look, Poppy.
And I wanted to thank you for the book. I plan on reading it cover to cover.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Most welcome.
And I will let you go, and I want to tell you that I haven't missed a show since I started listening, and I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Billy.
Okay, we'll
see you tomorrow.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I wonder where Mike Mastrada is. I wonder where Mike Mastrada is. He calls me every once in a while and says that he's going to call the broadcast. To my knowledge, he's never done it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question. I haven't been listening to shortwave too much here lately. I got out of it a while back. But I was curious about whatever happened to Linda Thompson.
I talked to her, 2-3 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 months ago, and she's still in Indiana, and she's still, I believe, practicing a little bit of law. Her son had run away from home or was taken from home for a while, and she had just found her son, and they were in the process of reacquainting the son with family life again.
Okay.
And that's about it. She's alive and well and living in Indiana. Is it Indiana?
I'm not really sure.
Indianapolis, yes, it's Indiana.
Okay, that's where she used to be.
I keep trying to say WKRP in Cincinnati, but I know that she's not on the air.
I don't know, but I've listened very heavily to the shortwave for a good while, and then there were some things that caused me to sort of get turned off to a lot of the people. It's kind of like you said, you started putting two and two together and coming up with seven, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're absolutely right, but I'm happy that you learned that.
Oh, yeah.
Very happy.
And so I just sort of dropped out of a lot of it, and I started doing some exploring through other avenues, and now I listen to the short wave, but not as much as I did by any means at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of, one of those things is like...
And probably much more selective, too.
Oh, yes, very much more so.
But, a lot of people never make that connection. They just get sick of the scare things, and they get sick of finding out that what they've been told was wrong and just was, wasn't true. And then they just drop out and go back to being a sheeple, and that's a very sad thing.
Well, one of the things that this patriotic movement has kind of turned me off about many, many, many years ago, more than we'll talk about, I was in service, and I was with a fairly good unit, and we were taught that, one of your comrades gets hurt, you do everything you can to bring him back.
Right.
You don't abandon him.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me like that every time one of these people in this movement, so-called, gets hurt, the first thing we want to do is turn them back and pretend like they didn't know him or something.
I don't know what you're talking about there.
Well, like Linda Thompson.
Oh, well, we never turned our back on
Linda Thompson. I'm not saying you. But a lot of the people, she became, an instant non-person almost.
Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I have done whole broadcasts berating this whole country for what they did to her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're saying you don't know what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about, way, situations such as that.
Yeah.
A lot of them benefited very greatly from her videos and from her presence.
Oh, if it hadn't been for Linda Thompson, nobody was listening to me. I was down there in Waco, Texas, screaming at the top of my voice that these people were going to be murdered, and I told the whole world they were going to be murdered if we didn't stop it. They burnt WWCR to the ground to shut me up, but they didn't have to do that because nobody was listening. Nobody started to listen to what we were telling them about Waco until Linda Thompson put out her videotape, Waco, the Big Lie.
Well, at the time of Waco, unfortunately, I still had a TV set.
Yeah.
And that occupied my time a lot, just like you've been talking about this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I don't have to worry about that. I don't even have one.
Good for you.
But, you know, I didn't really care about much a lot of things. I had a fairly good job. Life was pretty good.
Yeah, hold on just a second. I've got to do this. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. You may proceed. Hello?
Hello.
You can go ahead now.
Okay, well, I call when I realized that they would just go in and kill people.
Yeah.
And I started watching things. Now, I live just outside of Flint, Michigan. And something that has amazed me, and I tried to get some information about, but it's very, very hard to come up with. In Detroit, they periodically make sweeps. And they will go in, and it'll be in the paper, you know, they had 150, 200, whatever, arrests the night before in a drug sweep.
Mm-hmm.
And you never hear what happens to these people.
No, you don't. And they're not just doing it there. They're doing it all over the country.
Well, I agree. But I made an effort to try and find out about some of this stuff. And, boy, it's just like an iron door shuts on you.
Well, it does, yeah.
And I don't know, and I got in a very, very big argument one day with one of my co-workers because I brought up the situation of how the government can seize property and assets without any recrimination on their part. And they argued vehemently the government can't do that, you know.
Well,
now, wait a minute, wake up. I got cases right here.
They've been doing it for years.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's amazing. These were not stupid people. Most of them were educated. And
in fact, hold on just a second. Doyle, would you go in and get that stack of papers that are under my my interview recorder?
Mm-hmm.
They're under there on the printer tray. Bring those in here. In fact, I've got one that you know, I'm going to read it to you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, and these were people of, you know, above average IQ, had good jobs. By that, I mean they were dealing with the public. They weren't just running a machine or anything. Not that that doesn't take some people a lot more brains to run a machine, does deal with the public, but they were kind of people that were articulate and everything. And they just couldn't believe that their government could do something like that.
Well, most American sheeple don't believe and won't listen and don't pay any attention to the proof when it presents itself right before their eyes. This is called denial. And it's because if they admit that they know it, then they are responsible to do something about it. That requires personal risk, and that is something that is a big no-no in this country anymore. The sheriff that would face the lynch mob?
Yeah.
Not today. Mm-mm.
No, I agree with that. High Noon is just in the movies.
Yep.
No, I knew one of the local boys in blue here, I won't tell you which municipality it was, but he admitted to me that he liked the idea of being called to certain areas of town because then he could pull his pistol, maybe shoot it. And this is one who is, you know, sworn to uphold our safety.
Well, actually, we've talked about this many times on this broadcast. Police are not hired the way they used to be hired. They're chosen according to a psychological profile today, a very dangerous psychological profile. Police officers are chosen today according to a psychological profile that Hitler would have been proud to use to choose his SS during World War II.
I can believe that. Well,
and they can't wait.
What happened to Lynn Thompson? I couldn't find out very many ways. I tried looking on the internet, and I couldn't find anything that,
yeah,
you know, was definitive on it. And I couldn't find anybody else that would give me information. So I really appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. Listen to this.
Uh-huh.
Police seize money. A lawsuit filed Wednesday in federal court alleges that Cincinnati police are stopping citizens, searching them, and seizing their cash. Between $1,131 and $8,500 in the six instances detailed. Constitutional rights lawyer Scott Greenwood, who filed the complaint, also said Cincinnati police are reporting less money confiscated in almost every case than his clients actually had.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
So whose word are they going to take, yours or cops?
And you know why they say they're taking this money?
Why is that?
Because you're not supposed to have cash today. If you have cash, you're a drug dealer.
Yeah. Anything over, I don't know, depending on the place, I know in certain areas that it was anything over $200, they would consider you a person with, you know, dealing in drugs. Because
Well, you see, that's wrong. Because
right.
A lot of people do carry that much money. Sane people who understand what paper assets are doing to us.
Well, I am at this point...
I carry nothing but cash, and if any police officer ever tried to steal my cash because he claimed that I was a drug dealer without having any proof that I ever dealt any drugs, and I never have in my entire life, then I'd have to shoot the son of a bitch, and that's the truth.
Well, I can't say that I would... I'll just put it this way. I'm terrified right now of...
That's why they got you.
...cops, but I'm also terrified of credit.
Yeah, well, see, that's why they got you.
Yeah.
You're terrified.
I don't want to get in debt to anybody.
Well, you're afraid, and they've got you.
Well, by that...
And so everybody in this country stops being afraid, they've got you.
Well, what I mean by that is I get in debt to someone. If I turn myself over to credit...
Yeah.
...and I get in debt to them... At that point, I become their servant.
Why would you want to get into debt?
I don't. That's what I said. I'm terrified of getting in debt. I will do whatever I can to keep out of debt.
Yeah, you should. And you are right in being terrified of police officers.
Yep.
Now, not all police officers are bad.
I understand that.
I know at least one who's very good. And there are probably a lot more. But most police officers today are dangerous, very, very dangerous, and they do not have the best interest of the public in mind.
No, I agree with that.
They are serving an agenda that they're not even aware of. They break the law every day. They are performing unconstitutional acts, and they have terrified the public.
Yeah, I agree with that, because everybody I know of, even the people that don't agree with my position, if the cop pulls in behind them, they start getting nervous.
Oh, yeah, and it didn't used to be that way.
No,
I can remember a time not too long ago when nobody in this country was afraid of the police.
Yeah.
In fact, they looked forward to the police coming around. And it was good to have a police officer as your neighbor. If a police officer moved in next door to me now, I would watch that guy 24 hours a day.
I agree.
In fact, I would probably videotape his every movement.
I agree with that. Well, listen, I got to get going.
Okay.
I appreciate taking my call.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
And again, folks, I want to reiterate, not all police officers are bad people, nor are they bad police officers. But every police officer, I don't care who it is, and I get calls, and they claim, well, I've never done that. And when they tell me that, I just tell them, you're lying to me because I know better than that. I know that you have done some of these things. They have... broken down doors without warrants. They have stopped people and hassled them just because they didn't like the way they looked or they didn't like the car that they were driving. They have hassled people and terrified people and even arrested people simply because they talked back to them.
Oh, yes.
As if they're some little gods or something, you know? And, A lot worse. When I lived in California, I knew many police officers because at one time I was the head of the mixed gas deep saturation diving department of the College of Oceaneering in Wilmington. And we had to teach the bomb squads of all the different departments how to dive using scuba and surface supplied hookah gear and all kinds of different things. We had to teach them how to use recirculating mixed gas gear and all kinds of things. So I got to know these guys. And we would, you know, they would invite us to parties and stuff, and we would go. And, boy, I tell you what, when these guys get drunk and start talking, I heard some of the most terrible, terrifying tales you would ever want to hear. And not a single one of them, there was not one of them who did not carry what they called a throwaway. And that was a gun that they could use to murder somebody. Or if they accidentally shot the wrong person, they would put this gun in that person's hand so they wouldn't have to pay for what they did. And they believe that the public is their enemy. Now, once again, I'm going to say this again so you all understand it. Not all police officers are this way. There are some good men out there wearing police officers' uniforms. And there are some good men out there trying to do a good job. But you see, once they're hooked into the force, for a certain number of years, and they're married and they have children, they get in the same mentality as everybody else, and they begin to do things that they know they shouldn't do because they're afraid that if they don't, they'll lose their job or they won't get a promotion. And they don't believe that they can do anything else besides police work because they bought into the socialist mentality that you're worthless and you're only good for what you've been trained to do and that your brain won't work for anything else, and it's a lie. And good police officers need to start saying no to bad police commanders who order them to do unconstitutional things and things that they know are wrong. And they have to stop lying on the witness stand. If you can't convict somebody honestly, then you shouldn't be convicting them at all. Because what it means is you have convicted them, not a jury of their peers. And when you do that, you have subverted the entire system of justice in this country. And almost every police officer that there is lies on the witness stand as a matter of routine. And that's the truth. In California, I knew police officers who, if they couldn't get somebody any other way, even if they didn't even know that they had ever committed a crime, they'll frame them. They'll roust them and put some drugs in their pocket or throw some drugs in their back seat and then have another police officer search the car. So the one that searches the car can honestly say he didn't put it there. Oh, I've heard all the tricks. You see, I've drank way into the wee hours of the morning with some of Los Angeles' best. And I've heard it all. And I'm telling you right now, Hitler didn't have nothing on the police in America today. Nothing at all. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air. Hi, Bob.
Hey, my Bob. I enjoyed being with you this past summer. It was a great experience at the seminar that we had down there.
Well, we enjoyed having you, Bob, but I got to tell you, man, finding my way through that maze and forest of wires and microphones and little boxes that you had strung all over there in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
That was a killer.
Well, it's a matter that I needed that.
Do I have to do that again next year? I'm just joking, Bob.
I know. Here's my wife. Remember, for the longest time, you've been asking me, where is my
wife?
Yeah.
You never bring her when you come.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Just family matters. I'm not able to go with him very often. But
oh, well, I was going to, I was beginning to think you were a myth. Yeah, I thought that was the way that he fought off all those good-looking women at the conference.
Oh, maybe I better go next time.
Oh, there you go.
But we listen to you. We've been listening to you for a while now, several years. And interestingly enough, I'm getting back to what Doyle was talking about before. A management issue came up at work.
Yeah.
And one of the issue that came up was a manager's right to transfer people in to an organization that he or she felt were the best people to do the job.
Instead of promoting somebody.
Yeah, instead of promoting people. And it got into people vehemently defended as a right, regardless whether or not it was related to productivity.
Uh-huh.
And it's still an issue that hasn't been resolved yet, but it was amazing to me. It was a real eye-opener that people who really don't really produce that much
thought that they were entitled to a raise and a promotion.
As if it's almost like a birthright.
Yeah, I know.
If you stay out long enough, you're entitled to a promotion. And it just was a real eye-opener to me.
Yeah, that's the socialist position, all right. It's also the labor union position. He's been there 12 years, you got to give him a raise, you got to give him a promotion. Doesn't matter what he does.
Yes.
He's been loyal to your company.
Or it's an empowered workforce.
Empowered workforce.
Oh,
oh yeah.
I got
it. It was just incredible to me. Oh, another thing is I was driving to work the other day, and I heard on one of the news programs, and they just kind of glossed over it lightly, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't realize the significance of what they were saying. But we heard, but I had heard that they're taking the Secretary of the Treasury had approved a bill to take the American Eagle off the quarter. I mean, he's looking at two or three different designs or something, and they haven't even decided on a new design yet.
And so there, one of them is Howdy Doody, and what's the other two?
Oh, I don't know. They didn't go into it.
What are they doing, Doyle?
He had approved a bill to take the, or he had approved the new, he was looking at new designs, and he had signed something that authorized removal of the American Eagle from the quarter.
Doyle, what are the other designs?
Well, they have a plan to remove the American Eagle off the back, and some odd amount of states are going to have a commemorative back, you know, like an outline of California or whatever they choose, and they're going to knock out so many states each year until all 50 states have their own
quarter.
Yeah.
State's going to have their own quarter.
Remember the new money pamphlet?
And that's it? That's what they're going to do?
Yeah. And then, in fact, you can find it in, like, a Coin World and in your better coin collecting magazines. And the pamphlet available from the Federal Reserve, I brought one up here, remember?
Yeah.
The new gimmick of money, or I forgot what they titled it, but talking about the changes in the paper and whatnot.
That was news to me. I hadn't heard that one before, but I'm like, you know, the American Eagle is always just a liberty.
Yeah, well, you know, the traditions are falling by the wayside. Traditions are what hold a country and a people together, and they don't want traditions. Because we hold together, then, you know, they won't have their socialist utopian world.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, I'm sure a lot of people heard it and never even batted an eye.
No.
So I just want to tell you that we enjoy your program. You're coming in nice and clear tonight.
Well, thanks. That's good. Yeah. That's great.
Good.
Well, I'll tell you what. Open the door. We'll watch for those suckers. And when they start to broadcast over us, we'll get one of those poles in the backyard. We'll knock them right out of the air.
That's right. They come over us, we're going to knock them down.
But,
we're not going to stand for that.
We visit your website often.
Good.
Yeah.
We've downloaded a lot of material.
We have about 700,000 people a month on the website now. Yesterday, there were 40,000 people on the website. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And it's just growing and growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, the word is spreading.
You have an incredible amount of information on it.
Well, that's what we're all about. Information is the power now, not money. See, there's still people who believe that money is the power. Not anymore. It's information. And the people who have the truth and know how to find the truth, know how to hold the truth and use the truth, can beat money today easily.
You can see that. Like I say, you're doing a wonderful job, and Bob and I really appreciate everything you do.
Well, thank you. This year, we have a conference.
Yes.
When he's not looking, you crawl in that suitcase and make him work.
Okay.
Make him work. He's going to have to carry you all the way to Arizona. And don't give him any tip money for red caps or anybody. Make him carry that suitcase.
I'll have to try that.
Okay.
Okay. Take care now.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
520-333-4578. Gee, you know, I really did think Bob Boyd was kidding me about being married. It's been so many years. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Bill Cooper.
Hello.
I just wanted to call and also voice my...
I need you to talk a lot louder, please.
How's this, better?
That's much better.
Okay. I wanted to call and voice my appreciation for the information.
Thank you.
And I agree that the information is power. I just had a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
Whatever became of Linda Thompson, there's a lot of mythology surrounding her disappearance.
I just covered that about two calls ago.
Well,
she's alive and well in Indianapolis, Indiana, tending to her family.
Excellent. All right, good for her. And also, this George Bush laying in a coffin, and how do we know that happened? It's not that I don't believe. It's just that how do we, what is the source?
That's the, there was a thorough investigation into the skull of bones. Done by several different people. There was a group of students who actually broke into the crypt at Yale and went around and stole some books and took some pictures and wrote an expose, which was passed around the campus and of course, you know, passed into other hands as well. Mr. Sutton wrote a book. Anthony Sutton wrote a book based upon many years of research, which has uncovered an awful lot of the truth about the skull and bones. And there have been articles and things written in the I forget the name of the Yale newspaper, but over the years. And there have been students who have been members of Skull and Bones who have also talked a little bit here and there about what it's all about. So it comes from many different sources. You don't get information about these secret societies from any one source. In my efforts to understand their secret religion and their ritual and what they really believe, rather than the literal or exoteric interpretation of what they write that they believe, I had to read literally hundreds and hundreds of books over a period of about 26 years. And it's like a huge puzzle that you have to put together. And then I read so much, and I thought that it was never going to come together. And then one day, I broke the code of their symbolism, and it all became very clear to me. And then I was able to read the real message that is hidden in the symbolism. They write in a symbolic language. And they also erect... these symbols as architecture. And if you go to the website and click on the Art B.S. Bell page from our homepage, you'll get a real quick and real good education in some of the symbolism, and you will be able to see it right away. But if nobody ever explains it to you, you'll never understand it in a million years.
Well, I'm a listener that goes so far back that I picked up your Mystery Babylon set. I'm sure it is a good and brief education, but I also had a question. You know, say Bohemian Grove, the infamous photograph of the 40-foot owl and the pit of fire and all living presidents dressed in black, was that ever published in a book?
I don't know.
Oh, gee.
I have a copy of that.
Oh, I know. I'm sure you have multiple copies of many things that people have never seen, but...
I have a lot of other things, too.
Yeah, things like that, people would be... willing to purchase that stuff too as resource material for themselves and research. And I know that you like people to dig for themselves, because part of the lesson of all this is really empowering yourself.
If it doesn't serve to get people to empower themselves, then it's all worthless.
Exactly. But like on occasion, like I heard you speak to the woman a few nights ago, actually just last night, I guess.
Yeah.
And you were told that you can't really spoon feed her the stuff and that she's a citizen and she can go get it. But likewise, if you were to, let's say, offer the Privacy Act for, a photocopy version of it for $5, that would help you out and help the people listening. They wouldn't have.
No, because then nobody would ever discover the United States Code and nobody would ever learn how to find it for themselves. They would all send me $5. Then they would try to use it as a magic bullet rather than learning how it should be properly used.
Oh,
That's what's wrong with all these seminars around the country. I know people who just go to these seminars. The only reason they go is not to learn the law. They go to get these forms that are passed out that they think they can just fill in their name and address and phone number and sign it, and that's going to solve all their problems. And that's crap.
Well, but sometimes, yeah, that is. But like in the case of the treason document, that's been very convincing.
Well, we had to do that, because if we hadn't have done that, nobody would have ever found it.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that was the product of about 30 years of my personal research, which was then duplicated by a real good a person who sort of apprenticed himself to me to duplicate my research, and I taught him how to go and where to go and how to make friends with the librarians and take them flowers and offer to you go get them lunch if they couldn't go out at lunchtime and all this kind of stuff, and he duplicated it.
Now, someone has gone and
duplicated
every document you found?
Every single one of them, and more. He found more.
That is amazing.
Yes, he found more.
How long did that take him?
Well, with a little bit of help from me in how to handle librarians, who are not normally that helpful when you're seeking out this kind of information, I think it took him about a year to duplicate the research on the treason documents, and then about another 7 or 8 months to come up with another whole stack of documents on his own based upon what he had learned duplicating my original research.
Would you feel comfortable telling us his name?
Better than that, next week, during the first hour, we'll play a broadcast where I interviewed him, and he went over how he had duplicated it.
Excellent.
So, and that's an old broadcast from several years ago.
Yeah, I remember the old, that must have been on the other station.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Bill, I'm glad to hear that you beat that strange accelerated cancer tumor thing, and I want you around as long as the good Lord will have you, because I think you're just such an asset, and I can't tell you how much I look forward to this broadcast at the end of the day.
Well, thank you.
Well, you take care now.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks.
Yeah, that cancer had me going, I got to tell you. I thought the jig was up. But thanks to all my good friends who know how to handle that sort of thing, the jig wasn't up. But I hope I never in my life have to drink that much tea and take that many pills and capsules and grind that many chaparral leaves. I just hope I never have to do that again. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. I'm so glad to hear you back on.
Well, thank you.
Don Dolly from Illinois.
Hi.
And I've met you in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Missed hearing you. You were talking about products that you put out. Well, we just tuned in again. We just found out you were back on. So if you could tell us what you have or if there's a way to get a listing.
Well, in exactly 2 or 3 minutes, Doyle's going to take the rest of the broadcast to do exactly that.
Okay. And the other thing is, on the way to K, I wish it would crash, because then maybe people would wake up and have to use their brains again.
Well, you've got a point there, although I don't think that that's what they would learn to do. I think utter chaos would result, and in large population areas like New York City, Chicago, Cincinnati, Detroit, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, places like that, it would be worse than the L.A. riots ever could have thought of being.
That they put out, the $100 bills in the 50s and the 20s,
uh-huh.
It no longer says Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago or New York. It says Federal Reserve System.
Yes.
So,
you see, they're getting ready to convert to a global economic system with a world Federal Reserve Board.
Wouldn't that be the world currency right there?
Well, I said that when they first began the change, that the new bills are made this way, so that they will be recognized by Europeans as well as Americans who are used to seeing bills exactly like that, with a large portrait offset to one side. If you go to Europe, that's all you see.
Yeah, well, I think it's funny money, and I try not to take it.
Well, it is funny money. It certainly is funny money. Mm-hmm. The only real money is gold and silver coin.
That's right. Okay, take care, Mr. Cooper. Thanks for being back on.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for calling. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Doyle to do his thing. And so, once again, put your hands together. Here's Doyle.
Hello. Let me get the amp. Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How about Bill?
Oh, yeah, we got to do this.
Yeah.
We got to take 101.1 FM Eager off the air until after the commercials have finished, and we will not be taking calls for the rest of the broadcast, so please do not call.
We're going. All right. Okay, everybody, you got to deal with me now. Okay, I want to start out first with the address. If you have any inquiries you would like to make, a list of the books, videos, audio tapes, it's a complete listing with descriptions. As far as the shows, what it gives you is the date of the show, the program or broadcast number, and the topic or the title that was assigned to that show by us. Okay, if you want to write, you can write Hour of the Time, care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. If you wish to call, you can call any time of the day and leave a voicemail message. We will do our best to answer in person in the afternoons, Monday through Friday, but we have a voicemail system. You can leave a message or fax us at 520-333-4578. And I'll repeat those again at the end in case you didn't get all that. Okay, I want to start off first at the information packet. If you want an information packet, I say it's a big, healthy chunk of stuff. You get descriptions of the books, audiobook, Veritas, the videos that are available, the audio tapes, the special selections, and the 98 list. If you want an information packet, you need to send a number 10 size SASE, please put your address on it, with 75 cents postage on the envelope. And if you send that to us, it's $1, so we can cover the copies and whatnot. We will send you out an information packet. It's very thick. We just added some more to it just this week and finished some more stuff and added to it just today. Okay, it's constantly expanding. But it's 75 cents postage on number 10 SASE to the address I gave earlier. I'll give it again at the end. And 75 cents postage on it with a dollar included inside, please. And we will get that right out to you. Okay? Next, I want to give a more detailed description of some of these items. Start off with Behold a Pale Horse, written by William Cooper. 500 pages. The most well-documented, most suppressed information ever published. It's an excellent book. The price for Behold a Pale Horse is $30 postage paid. It's a really good book. $30 postage paid for Behold a Pale Horse. The next item I'd like to cover, excuse me, sorry, I need a drink, is the alternative audiobook version of Behold a Pale Horse. This is a two-tape set. 3 hours long with 10 minutes of new material. It's read by the author himself, William Cooper. Obviously, it's a bridge from the book, but it's a very good tape set. It's very good for people who have a long commute or don't feel they have the patience or time to read. And or it makes a good gift, too. This is the audiobook of Behold a Pale Horse. The price is $19.95, postage paid. Okay, that's $19.95, postage paid. For Behold a Pale Horse audiobook. Okay. The next item I want to cover is the Veritas. Veritas is an international newspaper. It's the only newspaper that addresses issues that affect your individuality. It fully documents sources for readers to confirm. It's hand-delivered to key representatives and media bureaus in Washington, D.C. Veritas presents the facts, you make your own decisions, and challenges the readers to think for themselves. It's an excellent newspaper, full-size, not a newsletter, not a memo, not a handbook. It's a full-size newspaper. It's Veritas, a 12-issue subscription is $55. That's $55 for a 12-issue subscription of Veritas. And if you would like a sample to see what it's all about, to get an idea of what you might be subscribing to, you can send, for a current issue, just one current issue, $5, and you can get a sample and see what makes up a Veritas newspaper. Okay. Next item. Oklahoma City Day 1. It's a detailed account of the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, April 19, 1995. It was written by Michelle Marie Moore with a foreword by William Cooper. It's a really good book. I believe it's 640 pages. I read it about a year and a half ago, so I don't remember the exact number of pages in it. It's a very thick, healthy book. It's a detailed account of the happenings around the Oklahoma City bombing. It's a really good book. I just today gave one to a dear friend of ours here locally, and they were reading it within minutes and couldn't believe it. I mean, she called in and mentioned it, in fact. It's Oklahoma City Day 1. It's a detailed account of the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, April 19th, 1995. It's written by Michelle Marie Moore with a foreword by William Cooper. The price is $16, postage paid. Okay? So if you would like that, it's $16, postage paid for Oklahoma City Day 1. The next item is the Branch Davidian's Last Will and Testament. This is a video that was made by the people within the Branch Davidian home, the church. It's an actual two-hour videotape. It was made by the Branch Davidians for the BATF and FBI to prove that none of them were being held there against their will. Okay? The church members, unfortunately, were not aware that this tape would turn out to be their only chance to tell their story to the world. All but one of the people in this videotape are now dead. It's a really heart-wrenching video. It's the Branch Davidians, Last Will and Testament. You see these people with their families and their children, and it's real. They aren't just some demon, as the media made them out to be. It's an excellent video. The price is $30, postage paid, for the Branch Davidians' Last Will and Testament. And this was made by them. Most people don't realize they ever did this tape, but it was a videotape they made themselves to prove they weren't being held there against their will by any martyr or Mariah. It's $3, postage paid. Branch Davidians' Last Will and Testament. Just reference that. The next videotape is the Zapruder tape, or Zapruder film. On October 22, 1963, Abraham Zapruder stood on a concrete abutment near the famous grassy knoll, as it's called, in Dallas, Texas, intending to film the president's motorcade. Instead, he filmed the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Zapruder rushed the film to a lab where it was developed. A local TV station aired what became known as the Zapruder film that night. The film was confiscated shortly thereafter and transported to the National Photographic Laboratory in Washington, D.C. The film was eventually returned to Abraham Zapruder, who promptly auctioned it off to the highest bidder, Time Life Incorporated. In 1992, William Cooper acquired a first-generation copy on 35mm color-positive film. The copy was immediately made on 1-inch videotape, offering this brilliant color copy of the now-famous Zapruder film on VHS, videotape. It's played at its normal speed as it was filmed, quarter speed, one-tenth speed, and then frame-by-frame, stop-gap type, all on the same videotape. You can't find this anywhere else. The frames are full-size. They aren't cropped. The tops or bottoms or sides into full-size frames. Again, it's played at normal speed, quarter speed, tenth speed, and then frame-by-frame. It's a Zapruder film. This is your chance to acquire a very rare part of our history. The price of this is $40 postage paid for the Zapruder film.
Got something for you.
Ah.
We just got this in today.
Yeah.
This is all our radios, and these are all our prices. of Mark's devices right here.
Okay.
For instance, the ATS-99
mm-hmm.
retails for $339. Our price is $274.99, so you can go right on down there.
Alright.
And even it's a clock radio, we've got all kinds of stuff. Uh-huh. And here's the whole descriptions of them right there.
Cool, thank you.
You're welcome.
Alrighty, she's got some new stuff. You know, alright.
Forget the mission, it's time to buy Christmas gifts.
Yes, it's time to buy Christmas gifts. Buy something that is useful and educational, and it will be remembered very well. Some of the best gifts I ever had were just such things. Things I could use, learn by, remember the people for years to come that bought them for me. Okay. Remember the last time the Zapruder film was, it's $40, posters paid. It's really good tape. No narration on it, so that we won't be accused of telling you what to think. You watch the film, come up with your own research and ideas. It's $40, posters paid for Zapruder. Okay, so I'd like to cover the, and then again, the audio tapes are available for all the broadcasts of 1998, starting from January 5th to present. A lot of shows, a lot of topics. The list gives a full account of them, so you can look through and get the tape you might want exactly, or an old show you may have heard and couldn't hear it that good, or really liked the topic or the information contained in it. Tapes, the prices are for a U.S. $10 postage paid for 1 hour, okay, and 3 hour tape is $13 postage paid, 2 hour tape is $12 postage paid for the audio tapes. If you want a list of these, just ask for the information packet and send everything like I told you earlier. Next, I'd like to go into the new stuff we have. Yeah, I may really mess this one up because I'm looking at it for the first time. I was at work all day, like we talked about earlier. Let me see. Okay, we'll start off with the... radio, Sandium radios. We have various models available. I have a couple of them right here. The ATS-808 Sandium radio. It's an excellent radio. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You gonna come in and join me, too? Okay, go ahead. Thanks. The Sandine, the first one I'd like to start off with is the ATS-808. It's a all-band AM-FM stereo world band receiver. It has AM, FM stereo, long wave, short wave. It's phase loop locked. A PLL synthesized receiver. It's got 45 memory presets. Covers the shortwave bands from 120 meter down to 11 meter. Comes in a, it's a full kit. Suede pouch, stereo headphones, shortwave handbook, extended antenna. It runs on AA batteries. It's a really good radio. It's a Sandine ATS-808. And it's a, this is a really sharp deal right here. The Sandine 808 is $149.95 plus postage. Okay, $6 postage, ATS 808, $149.95. Okay, the next one I'd like to cover is the Panasonic that we carry. Let me get to this. Let me knock this Panasonic radio out. It's the only Panasonic we carry. It's a nice radio. So it's got 9 shortwave bands, FM, medium, long wave. FM stereo headphone jack, tone controls, the DC jack to run it off a 110 wall outlet, runs on AA batteries again. It's an analog tuning radio, the dial and needle type, just so you know up front. It's a nice radio. We have this Panasonic, it's the RF-B11. That's RF-B11. The Panasonic shortwave radio for $58.95 plus postage, $6 postage. $58.95 plus $6 postage and handling. Okay. And let me get on and stumble through some of these other things. Holy cow. Okay.
The ATS 909 San Jean, it's all band digital shortwave receiver. This is the one that we use right here in our own backyard. It's a nice radio. All band digital shortwave receiver, 306 memories, 5 tuning methods. It's got an ATS tuning system, AM, FM, FM stereo, auto search, manual search. It's switchable to upper and lower sideband both. It's got a 42 world city time, display editing, 3 different timers, and adjustable sleep time. It's a nice radio. I can personally attest to the quality of these. I have dropped mine, stepped on it. It was packed in a duffel bag for 4 years in the Army. It's had stuff spilled on it. It's been watered and rained on. It's a good radio. Still use it. The ATS 909 is $274.95. The ATS 909 San Jean radio for $274.95. It's a really nice radio. Picks up stations really well. In fact, just last night with no antenna aerial up or anything inside the house, I was listening to AM station out of Omaha. From Omaha to Arizona with no antennas inside the house in the middle of the night. Okay. Next one I'd like to go to is the ATS 818. CS cassette, okay, ATS 818 CS, 16 band digital shortwave receiver with a programmable cassette recorder, BFO for SSB reception. That means sometimes you'll just hear strictly SSB or single sideband, which is what it stands for. BFO is the same thing. I have no idea what BFO stands for. I will find out, but it's single sideband, okay? And I want to make that clear because some companies advertise this as if it's two different features. It is not, okay? Single sideband, upper and lower, switchable. AM, FM, FM stereo. It's got 45 presets. A color display, LCD display, very large, easy to read. Dual time display. FM stereo signal and battery indicator. It's got a sleep timer, tone controls. The AC adapter is included, so if you don't want to run it on AA batteries, you can plug it into the wall and run it off an AC 110 outlet. Okay, the price for the ATS 818CS is $249.95 for the ATS 818CS plus shipping and handling. Okay, let you go to another one, which is this is a really nice radio right here. A really nice middle-of-the-road radio, and I say that for lack of a better word right now. As far as price goes, it's got a lot of features. It's one of their newest models from San Jean. It's the ATS 404, 16-band digital shortwave, AM, FM, FM stereo. It's got 54 presets, color displays, dual time readout. Okay, sorry, I got sidetracked by something else here. Dual time display. 12 and 24-hour display as far as clocks. You can use the military time or conventional 12-hour AM, PM. Auto memory scans, auto manual search, news control, continuous coverage on the shortwave bands. The display is fully illuminated. And this is a really nice radio. It's ATS 404. Okay. $99.95 plus postage. $99.95 plus postage. $6 postage and handling. Okay. And remember, you can call or write for information about any of this stuff. All this is included in the information pack now. Just finished knocking it out today, expanding it. It's a really good deal. You can read all this stuff. So try to memorize everything here. Okay. Another one here I'd like to cover is the ATS 818. Okay. It's all the features the same as the 818CS, which I described earlier, except it does not have the programmable cassette recorder. Okay, so without the cassette, it's ATS 818. That's the model. $194.95 for the ATS 818 San Jean shortwave radio. Let me see what else in plastic here. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, in the 808. Okay. We also have, I have some questions, and this is really good. I'm seeing this here. Had some people call that have wanted to know, well, I've got a Sangene or I've got this model, that model. But I have this Sangene model predominantly. And the 808 is the predominant number of questions. And I'm tired of burning up batteries. Okay. We have the AC adapters for these. It saves a lot of money. Because if you're listening inside, we're in a room where you're close to a wall outlet anyway. Plug it in. It's a lot easier than changing batteries or having them go dead in the middle of a broadcast and go rummaging to find the dead one and replace it and get back on to listening. We fight that a lot here when we're listening outside to enjoy the beautiful scenery, especially at the sunset time. It's the AC adapter for the ATS-808. It's $12 plus postage. Okay, you can either just write, I want the AC adapter, or you can reference its model number, which is ADP-808. I would probably be a lot easier to just say AC adapter for the ATS-808 radio. It's $12 plus postage. Okay, one thing I need to cover now. If you wish to order anything whatsoever, there's only a few ways to pay for it. Cash, completely blank money order, gold or silver coin. Cash, blank money order, gold or silver coin. Okay? And that is the only method of payment we will accept. If we get a filled out money order, we will send it back. I've been doing that. And so please send a blank one, okay? Because then it takes up time, you know, obviously, to write a quick note of why you're getting your money order back and postage and everything else to deal with it. So we don't want to do that. And if you are going to send the money or for donation or whatever, or an order, please be detailed in your description. Sometimes it's a little hard to tell exactly what I need to do or what we all need to do here to get this filled promptly. So please be very detailed. Help us out. If we get money, which is, you know, like a blank money order with no description, we don't know what it's for. And so then we got to try to deal with it as far as getting hold of the person and whatnot to see what the money was for. So, and sometimes people send money without the note. I've seen that many times, and so that's why we can't just assume ourselves why it's there. Okay. To go over, let's see what we got here, the ATS-404. I wanted to really cover this new radio as far as the Sangene line goes, or one of their newest models. I was speaking with the people at Sangene for some technical questions I had about my radio and the circuitry inside of it, and they were telling me about this ATS-404. It's full performance, full featured digital AM/FM stereo shortwave receiver. It offers many of the features that are on the most expensive tabletop models at a much more affordable price. I covered certain terms like continuous coverage or auto memory scan. I want to go into these terms and give you definitions real quick. Take any time, and that way you fully understand what you were hearing. Continuous coverage means that it tunes continuously all shortwave bands and any frequency in between. Sometimes there are gaps on some radios. Okay. Auto memory scan is, it means it automatically scans every memory preset and plays each in sequence for 7 seconds so you can hear what you may be looking for or just hear what is on the air to find something. So you got an illuminated display, auto or manual searches, a lock switch it's called, seconds display, time display. It's got 12 and 24 hour clocks. Auto preset system, it automatically determines all the memory presets based upon signal strength of the station. That helps out a lot so it doesn't get stuck on a very weak signal that you probably can't hear very well anyway. And then it's got its keypad entry. You just type in the frequency. If you want to hear WBCQ, you type 7.415, enter, and boom, the frequency's in there. And because the display goes out to the 1,000th position, it's really easy to see what you've tuned in and what you're listening to. It's got tone controls, AM, FM, stereo, It's a really nice radio. It comes with a carrying case and stereo earbuds, as they're called. Sanjin makes some of the best stereo earbuds. Those are the little headphones you stick kind of like in your outer part of your ear. They don't really go over your head or anything. It comes with all that. That's the ATS-404, and that is $99.95 plus shipping. Okay, one more time, real quick. If you want to write, order, inquire, whatever, it's Hour of the Time. Care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. And the voicemail and fax system is 520-333-4578.
That's it.
All right.
Good night, folks. And God bless each and every single one of you. Been listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Be sure and tune in again on Monday when we'll be right back here on WBCQ, The Planet.